What happens when you eat birthday cake if it's not your birthday? How do you wash a waterproof coat? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Hello everyone and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy paranormal podcast where every week, myself and this guy, Kit Greer, investigate a brand new tale, case, claim, beast, legend, story, cryptid, alien, and find out whether or not it is really paranormal or if it's just a crock of shit.
There's a lot of crocks of shit.
And speaking of crocks, boy, do I have a great episode today.
Like the shoes, perchance?
No, not the shoes. The gaiters.
Oh.
Exactly. Before we get into this episode, that second intro question, how do you wash a waterproof coat?
You actually need some feedback on that?
I genuinely do.
Okay.
This isn't even a bit. I ordered a...
Can I see the thing?
It's here somewhere in the flat. I accidentally dropped an entire salt beef mustard bagel on my white waterproof coat today. It looked like something had exploded on me, like a bank heist had gone wrong, and I opened up the case that had an ink bomb in it. It's a complete mess, and I don't know how to wash it now. Do you take it to a... dry cleaners?
If it's so, it's waterproof, so it's repel. I think you just wipe it, don't you?
Well, it didn't wipe very well because that white jacket's looking pretty yellow. Look, just email us in This Paranormal Life if you have any tips on how I can fix my expensive Nike jacket. Sorry, back to the show. Got a little sidetracked there. This week we're getting our episode ideas. Not where we usually get them, not from the dark web, and not from our inbox. I found this suggestion as a post from Jamie Brock Webb on the This Paranormal Life Facebook page.
Okay, so not the... a different inbox, if you will.
Sure, yeah, and a different dark web.
Still a listener's suggestion.
But he didn't say like, hey, investigate this. He was just like, hey, check this out, you bunch of freaks.
Okay.
And I did. And immediately I was excited, curious, and a little aroused, frankly.
Interesting.
So I followed the link, which led to a very recent New York Times article about something I feel is very important to talk about. Our story today, Kit, is one of legend, passed down from generation to generation. But perhaps there is some truth to this legend. It's up to us to find out.
Didn't you say this was a New York Times article the other day? How is this a legend passed on through the generations?
It's a New York Times article about a legend passed down from generation to generation.
Is that the New York Times remit? I thought they were like cutting edge news.
They write some classics as well, some oldies.
Some myths?
Every year they print the fucking Bible, all right? It didn't happen yesterday.
The New York Times?
No, publishers. You can write stories about old shit. You think Hogwarts is around now? No. It's happened. It's done.
I think back to the cross.
Sorry. I'm getting fired up here. Today we're heading to New York City. The Big Apple. The city that never sleeps.
Oh, yeah.
This city is like a zoo. You got the wolves of Wall Street. You got the sharks of finance. But today we're talking about New York's most deadly predator. One that lurks below the city streets. In the dark sewers. Waiting for the right time to strike.
Is it like accountants or lawyers? It seemed to be where you're going with the zoo analogy.
No, I'm just implying that this is a, you know, New York City. It's a dangerous place.
Okay.
It's 1932, and police in Westchester County, just north of New York City, are working at the station on a lazy Sunday. They've got the baseball on the background. They're polishing their guns, relaxing.
So what policemen do to relax?
I think on a lazy day, on a lazy Sunday, definitely.
If you get too excited watching the baseball, you don't need to be polishing your gun while you do it.
That thing will go off. On a triple, it's going off. The door to the station swings open and a group of kids walk up to the main desk. The receptionist is reading the newspaper, not paying attention, when he hears a loud thump of something being dropped on the desk. He lowers the paper to see a 3-foot dead alligator lying on the table.
Jesus.
When the officers at the station asked the kids, "Where'd you find this alligator?" They said, "The Bronx River. It's swarming with them."
What?
That's right. Today, Kit, we're going to talk about the legend of the New York City alligators.
Jesus Christ. All right. I've been to New York a couple of times. I'm sure you've been a few times.
Yeah, I've actually only been once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not once did I hear about alligators. I thought it would have come up.
I think it's a pretty popular New York myth. I mean, there's even, I think, like a bronze statue in one subway station of an alligator popping out of a manhole and grabbing a baby.
Really?
Yeah. Very tasteless, actually, now that I think about it.
I'm just imagining the one time you went to New York City was to do all the croc tours of the...
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't give a shit about the Empire State Building.
Everyone's going around on like the traditional New York City yellow cabs. And I've got one of those like hover gliders that's just going around the swamps. Now, there's two kind of versions of the legends of the New York City alligators. The first is just simply that there are alligators living in the sewers. Nothing more, nothing less. But others believe the gators down there have mutated from ingesting sewage water.
Uh-oh.
Which isn't a good combination.
No, I mean, I've seen enough. I grew up on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it went well for them, but by all accounts, that nuclear waste could have turned them into any kind of... I mean, there seem to be other sort of mutant criminals in that world.
Yeah.
So if these crocodiles, we've said it before, they get into contact with the nuclear waste and they don't have a rat sensei.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows where they end up?
If Splinter wasn't there to steer these guys in the right direction, we would be talking today about a gang of little turtles stealing babies from subway stations.
100%.
One of the earliest recorded encounters of an alligator in New York was 1907, when the local newspaper wrote an article about a man named Charles Gids who went to pick up a strange object while in the sewers.
Charles Gids was cleaning out a sewer Friday when a workman called his attention to a strange object in the water. Gids picked it up, but suddenly dropped it with a yell. Workman then examined the object, which proved to be a young alligator, about 17 inches long. It had nipped Gids in the right hand, but inflicted little injury. It was learned a week later that an alligator had escaped a week ago from freeholder John W. Roach, and who welcomed its return with many thanks.
That was fast.
Yeah, so this is, I think, one of the first recorded instances of a man in the sewers in New York City coming across an alligator.
And he has the scars to prove it, and he has the witnesses to prove it. It really happened. So there has, at least on one occasion, definitely been a little alligator.
A little baby one, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, it should go without saying that alligators aren't local to New York. Sure. But that being said, the year was 1907. There's a number of possible explanations as to how a baby alligator ended up in the big city. I guess one is...
It wanted to start a business.
Yeah.
It wanted to work in media. It wanted to get into real estate. Lots of options.
How did Babe end up in the big city?
That's a great point.
Wasn't he chasing his mama or something?
Yeah, I think it was a kind of home alone situation. He was left on his own. He had to get to someone.
Yeah, maybe this alligator's mama was going to be turned into a belt or a shoe, and he chased it into the big city to try and stop whatever was going to happen.
I don't remember alligators being very family oriented, but they might be.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, a circus animal could have got loose, an exotic pet or zoo creature could have escaped. It's 1907. There's no laws, there's no rules for these kinds of things. People were probably commuting on lions, getting their Deliveroo orders delivered by cheetahs and grizzly bears.
It is one of the discrepancies we notice living here in the UK is that I don't know if Americans fully understand that in the UK, like, a wild pet to have is like a f***ing bird.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's like, you're eccentric. Like, I probably don't want to know you if you have a bird for a pet.
If you have a bird, you're now a jailbird because you are weird and you're going to get locked up.
That's right. That's just how we think over here. Whereas we always hear these stories about how there's all these tigers in Texas.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me there's crocs in New York City? I thought those people were like us.
Well, any of these explanations would have made sense if this was the one and only report of alligators in the city. However, it was only the beginning. Year after year, more reports and stories of New Yorkers spotting alligators in the city poured into the news.
This is f***ed.
And in 1935 came the arrival of the Harlem Gator.
So it's one famous gator?
Very famous, actually. I'm surprised you haven't heard of him. And yeah, just one gator.
Ever heard of Harlem? It's a pretty rough and tough neighborhood. So even the alligators have to scrape and scrounge to get by. They become pretty tough too.
Yeah, you think the alligators in Florida are dangerous? Imagine alligators not only born and raised in the big city, but in the hood. On the mean street.
The projects. Obviously, the alligators down Sunshine County are pretty chill.
Yeah.
If an alligator is stressed out by his commute, if an alligator is stressed out by the grind of the 9 to 5.
It was February 9th, 1935, at the end of the Great Depression, and a group of teens were shoveling snow from the streets down into the New York sewers to clear the roads. But as they tossed the piles and piles of snow down into the darkness, they heard a thrashing sound. I could see something moving down there. The boys decided to form a makeshift lasso from a clothesline and toss it down into the sewers. After some trial and error, it seemed like the wire was hooked on something. So with one big pull, the boys yanked the cable and up shot an enormous 8-foot alligator!
No,
snapping and snarling!
8 feet? Do you know how heavy that would be? That would be insane.
That's because it's the motherfucking Harlem Gator, bitch. This guy's bigger than your babies.
He's a basketball player. He's got that Harlem 8-foot tall stature.
He eats other gators. He's enormous. The boys panicked and using their shovels beat it to death on the road.
What? So you keep calling them boys, but they fished an 8-foot gator out of the sewer.
I assume there was a gang of them.
And
there
then
boys in New York City in 1935 were men.
That's so true.
All right. So we don't have to worry about these kids. They probably had six packs and biceps.
This is like a Scorsese movie. These guys were probably hired killers.
Exactly. Back in these days, we didn't know how good we had it. Enough all the gator meat you could eat straight from the sewers.
We didn't have guns or nothing back then. You had to beat the damn thing to death. I lost a digit every time I ate.
Damn, I missed those good old days. The New York Daily News speculated that it had escaped from the East River and had possibly swum into a sewer outflow pipe.
I thought they didn't have... So there are gators in this river?
In the East River, I guess they've seen them before. I don't know where that is. Probably somewhere outside of the New York City. I guess they're thinking that this guy has gone basically upstream.
Right.
All the way to the heart of the city.
Okay, so it's like a fish swimming up your toilet or something.
Yeah, like those trout that go, or is it, it's trout, right? That go up, or salmon.
Salmon, yeah.
That go up the stream, yeah. I don't know what these kids expected, really. I mean, if you're hauling anything, any clump out of the New York City sewers, it's going to be human shit.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be a ball of rats,
mm-hmm.
or a human corpse. There's nothing good that you're going to get from, especially if you hear it snarling and snapping in the darkness.
Like, it wasn't like you heard the jingling of jewels.
Yeah, or like the shine of a gold doubloon down there.
And you were like, yeah, let's put a magnet on a rope and see what it attaches to, some precious metal. No, they were like, I don't care what's down there, we're getting it.
I don't care what's down there, it's dinner tonight. I'm hungry and I don't have a job. How the F is this happening?
Yeah.
At this point, the New York City sewer gators weren't just a myth or a legend, all right? This is real. So how is this happening? Well, it turns out that in the 1930s, baby alligators were all the rage.
Oh?
Parents would get them for their children. Vacationers to Florida could bring them back as souvenirs.
Bad parents and vacationers.
You could even order them by mail by filling out adverts in the back of magazines.
Jesus Christ.
Then, the grim reality is that when the creatures got too big, they were dumped.
What do you mean too big? They're gators. A 6-inch gator is too
big.
You got a week or two at, you got a fortnight at max before this thing is starting to think you look pretty tasty.
A gator the size of your hand will still kill your dog. It's too big. It's like saying, like, we got a pet panther, but it got a little too big, so we had to get rid of it. It's a f***ing born killer.
It's like, you know how they say, oh, you know, dogs aren't just for Christmas. It's a lifetime of looking after it. Gators are just for Christmas. Boxing Day, they're a little too big. And it's whack or get whacked. Get the shovels ready, kids.
Because, there's no leftovers on Boxing Day because the gator ate them all.
Of course.
And by Boxing Day, it's hungry for more. In fact, it's hungry for flesh.
These baby alligators were either thrown out into the wild, killed, or, as the rumors go, flushed down the toilets where they'd end up in the city sewer system.
Can we Google pictures of baby gators? I want to understand. I want to put myself in the mindset of someone who would want one.
Well, first off, I just realized I never even showed you. I have the actual clipping of the newspaper report from the discovery of the Harlem gator.
Let's see it.
The 8-foot gator lassoed from a Harlem sewer. This is an actual photocopy of the newspaper article.
Okay, so right off the bat, you said it was 8 foot tall. This thing just about held up by two men reaches their chest.
They're tall men.
And they don't look tall men.
Can you please read the headline for the article?
James Vitrino, a 6-year-old boy from the Harlem area. Oh, you're right. Okay, f*** it. James Mitrino, 19, with Salvatore Concolucci, gotta love those Italian-American names, 16, with alligator dragged from rope from storm sewer in Harlem. Prize weighed 125 pounds, and no one seemed to know how it got in the sewer. Youths were shoveling snow into the sewer when they discovered it.
I mean, it's enormous.
I'll give it to you. It's not 8 foot, but it is... It's too big. It's way too big to be in Harlem. That is terrifying. Dude, imagine you were queuing for the tube in London and like you were just like on your phone and then just scuttling across the tracks before the train comes down. You just see an 8-foot gator stomping, snarling and thrashing.
That's terrifying. You know, in London, the only thing that you really have to look out for is pigeons.
We're pretty safe here.
Yeah, we got nothing really that can hurt us.
It's too cold.
But as you said, what is a gator this big doing in Harlem, let alone New York City? This is where things get paranormal. While some people believe that gators have gone down into the sewers and merely just survived down there, others believe that they've thrived. People believe that the conditions of the sewers have led to, quote, special breeds of alligator.
Whoa.
Ones that after feeding on sewage and toxic waste are now blind, giant, albino monsters.
Oh. No.
I guess if there was any creature that has now adapted on the fly, evolved to basically eat human shit and live in the pure dark, that's going to be as close to a demon as we'll ever get.
I mean, alligators and crocodiles are always touted as living dinosaurs. These are the creatures that have been alive for hundreds of... We're newbies. We're the fresh kids on the block. We've only been around for 200,000 years, give or take. These f***ers have been here for 100, 200, 300 million years, pretty much unchanged. They nailed it first time. It's like God was designing a machine for robot wars. Yeah. It was like, give it four legs and massive teeth. And actually, while we're at it, armor. Yeah. It's like nothing's going to take it down.
Alligators are the black box of planet Earth. When this whole ship goes down, the alligators are going to be there to be like, here's what I saw go down. All right. Nuclear wars, global warming. The whole thing was f***ed. Alligators will be able to tell these stories because they're indestructible.
So true. The oceans dry up, they go above land. The land goes on fire, they go underwater.
No more food. They can eat human shit, apparently.
But what I'm trying to say is that they've been the same for hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah.
They are overdue an upgrade, a little evolutionary kind of chop shop style pimp my ride thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, what happens if you just nail it first try? If an animal is just created perfect, born perfect, that's hard to improve. They're basically a weapon with eyes.
Yeah.
A suit of armor with knives on their face.
So whilst evolution itself wasn't mixing up the formula too much, adding in just a hint of toxic waste has turned these things into even more deadly criminals.
That'll speed things up for sure. At this point in the story, the only thing paranormal about these gators is their location. But the legend of the sewer gators is only beginning. Teddy May was the superintendent of the New York City sewer system in the 1930s. His years of service and dedication to his job earned him the nickname King of the Sewers.
Bad nickname.
Terrible nickname. That's like being like, this city wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the dedication and hard work you've put in, Rat King. It's like, just call me my name's Teddy. That's quite a cute
okay,
name.
Teddy Toilet Master Teddy.
All right, please. Look, my profession has nothing to do with my personality.
Muncher Ted.
All right, that's enough. One time I ate that shit and you guys won't let it go. Now, Teddy May met with his team of inspectors responsible for surveying the sewers and making sure everything's running smooth. But everything was not running smooth. Everything was rough and jagged like an alligator's back. The men seemed disheveled and anxious. They said, "Look, Teddy, Sewer King, I know this is gonna sound crazy, but you got a whole city full of f***ing alligators down there, bro." Now, Teddy, knowing the sewers well, obviously didn't believe them and assumed the men were boozing on the job. So he hired another team of inspectors to watch the inspectors to find out if they were drinking down in the sewers.
Pretty smart. I'm starting to see how he rose up through the ranks like that.
When the team returned, they said, "Well, the good news is your boys aren't drinking on the job. The bad news is you got a f***ing ton of alligators down there." So there was nothing left for Teddy to do but head down himself. So he dragged open the manhole cover and descended down into the darkness of the sewers.
"Hello, darkness, my old friend. My only true home."
He trudged through the sewage, flashlight in hand, looking out for this colony of alligators, but came up empty-handed. Then, hearing a gentle splash in the waters behind him,
It wasn't gentle. There's no way it was
turned
gentle.
With his flashlight to illuminate a congregation of alligators.
What?
Hiding by the small pipes in the backwash of the city.
That.
It was true. There were alligators living down there in the sewers. In the following months, Teddy assembled a dad squad. A squad of sewer dwellers to completely eradicate the alligator infestation by any means necessary.
Sewer knight, sewer jester, sewer queen, we must descend and fight.
And they did try a few different ways. So first off, they allegedly baited some of the creatures with rat poison.
Wow.
Tried to get them out of their little crocodile alligator holes and chow down on some poison.
Yeah, cruel but necessary.
I mean, that's already a pretty brave assumption that rat poison is going to kill a creature that's been eating raw sewage, presumably for the last 10 years.
There's already a lot of rat poison down there. You don't need to add any.
That might make them stronger at this point. That's like the appetizer for eating you. Other alligators were herded into main trunk lines where they drowned.
Wow.
I don't know a lot about how the sewers work. I'm assuming a Gustav Gloop style, that they were pushed into skinny pipes, probably not filled with chocolate, where they died Willy Wonka style, just jammed in the pipes. He didn't die though. He was fine. And finally, the surviving alligators were flushed through the pipes into areas where Teddy and his squad...
Okay, don't flush them, because that's how we got in this mess. I will remind you. Flushing gators. You can't just flush away your problems, people. You gotta bag up the gator, bury it very, very deep. Or like we said in previous episodes, like Megatron, bottom of the Mariana Trench.
The surviving alligators were flushed through the pipes. Hear me out. I know you're against flushing. They were flushed into areas where Teddy and his squad were waiting with loaded guns to blast them on sight.
Whenever you signed up as, like, I don't know, whatever they call that job, like Metropolitan Refuse,
yeah,
you know, executive, you didn't know you'd be getting a piece,
yeah,
a machine gun.
It'd be really worrying if on day one it's just like, all right, so we're gonna head down into the sewers. Here you go, kid. And they just toss you like an AK. You're like, what the hell? All right, everyone move in formation. Don't shoot without authorization. Remember, gators are haters.
Gators are haters!
And they just, like, don't even use the ladder at this point. They just, like, nosedive into the manholes.
Yo, between you and me, other than the gators, there's a lot of mutants, too.
You can kind of picture this as an action film, you know, that they all get ready at the precinct to go down into the sewers. And the newbie on his first day, like, hops into the back of the Jeep. And they're bumping down the New York City roads, yeah, going under the manhole. And he's looking across at the other soldiers. They're, like, one of them's, like, missing an eye. He's got a scar all down. One of them's got, like, a robot arm. And then there's a guy with a cigar in his mouth. And he's like, first tour, kid. Where are we going? What is this job? This is insane.
Now, all of Teddy's accounts of these events are actually all documented in Robert Daly's book, The World Beneath the City, that tells all the stories of similar incidents in New York.
Interesting.
Now, while these are very dramatic stories, the way that it's told by the Sewer King himself is that none of these alligators really exceeded 3 feet.
Okay.
We're not looking at a Harlem gator situation here, folks. These are maybe not baby alligators, but certainly not mutant albino alligators.
I don't actually know what the scale is. Is 3 feet normal?
I don't know. I think, no, they're pretty big, right?
I thought so.
How big is...
But then I thought they could survive underwater, but then you just told me they drowned them, so...
They can probably survive underwater, maybe not in raw human shit and feces.
Drowned is a strong word.
American alligators are 3 to 4 meters long.
Okay, that's a lot bigger than 3 feet right there.
Yeah. If anything...
That's 3 to 4 times the amount of feet we thought they were.
If anything, this alligator extinction is not really heroic. It's more just shooting malnourished, lost animals in the darkness of the sewers. So while this is certainly an interesting case, it's not necessarily a paranormal case. But website disclosure.pw tells the story of an alligator that may possess paranormal qualities. The website states that deep in the stagnant swamps along the border between Alabama and Florida, a story began circulating among the locals in the 1920s of a vicious alligator measuring 4.5 meters, nearly 15 feet long, which had emerged from the swamps to wreak havoc on the community. But in addition to its unusual size, this was no ordinary alligator, Kit. It was said that the creature possessed fiery red glowing eyes and was immensely powerful, able to easily rip large prey to pieces with his jaws. And its tail? Its fucking tail?
Another 18 feet. That's right, I wasn't counting the tail before.
Its tail was claimed to be able to flip over a fully grown horse with one lash.
What? How do you flip a horse? What does that mean?
It literally means nothing.
Did you push it over or did it land back on its feet?
Did it flip back onto its hooves? I have no idea. Maybe that's like a southern saying.
Yeah, flip a horse.
Like, damn, Franklin, you've been going to the gym. You look like you can flip a horse. You know, that could maybe something like that.
I guess, like, eat a horse. I don't know.
But you get the idea. This son of a bitch is strong. Right. Big and strong. One of the beastly alligator's feet had allegedly been partially taken off by a steel trap, giving it a distinctive two-toed track and leading to its nickname, Two-Toed Tom. Rumor said that
he's coming for the Sewer King title. That's right. He's taking out Teddy.
Rumors said that this was not an ordinary animal at all, but rather a demon from hell.
Ah.
A local farmer named Pap Haynes, who had recently purchased land nearby, was assured that the tales of the monster alligator were just folklore. You got nothing to worry about, Haynes. Yeah, of course there's some alligators. You know how to deal with them. Shovel them to death.
Oh, those bones just lying around the yard? They're chicken bones.
Yeah.
We got big chicken down here in Alabama.
Yeah, they're like prehistoric bones coming out of the ground 10 feet high. This was until one day he found one of his mules ripped apart.
Uh-oh.
And in the dirt, two-toed tracks trailing blood to a nearby pond. Speculating that the beast was probably still wallowing in the pond, digesting its meal, Haynes filled up 15 syrup buckets with dynamite.
He doesn't mess around at all.
Literally the first thing that it's done. He went from being convinced it doesn't exist to nuking a pond.
I thought he was gonna like maybe call the people who sold him the house, be like, hey, I'm starting to think you weren't forthcoming about the whole two-toed Tom thing. But he went straight to nuke the bitch. If he had had chemical weapons, he would have used them.
I'm starting to think he purchased the land knowing full well that Tom was going to show up. Because no one goes from like, yeah, I guess you're right, and then being crossed once and saying, that's the final straw.
So I've been living here for all of 30 minutes, two-toed Tom, and I'm not going to let you fuck up my life.
You just know as well, like, he's telling people that the mule was ripped apart. But it just got a scratch on his knee. And he's like, that's the last f***ing straw. This gator, this beast will die. It's like, you need to chill out. I don't think anyone's even seen an alligator around these parts in over 100 years.
Haven't you seen the two-toed footprints? Isn't your donkey two-toed? What do you think, he ate himself? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, my donkey, two-toed Timmy, of course. When he detonated the dynamite, it resulted in a spectacular explosion that completely devastated the pond, leaving very little chance for anything to have survived. But then, just moments after the massive eruption, there were screams, accompanied by riotous thrashing of water coming from a nearby pond. Knowing what this undoubtedly meant, Haynes went to go finish what he'd started. He hadn't started anything. He's not even finishing any. You can't finish something if nothing happened. If you just tried to detonate a pond.
You blew up a pond. The crocodile was nowhere near.
It's time for the years of suffering to come to an end.
Your shit is still in boxes. You could just leave.
He hasn't even opened the front door yet.
Moving can wait. I need to take care of something.
So along with his sons and a posse of 8 armed local men.
Okay.
He headed to where the noise was coming from. When the men arrived, they were greeted by the glinting red eyes of Two-Toed Tom sinking under the bloodied water.
Whoa.
It soon became apparent where all the blood had come from, as the body of Haynes' 12-year-old granddaughter
was
laying nearby.
No!
This son of a bitch was in another pond eating his granddaughter.
That is awful.
Yeah, it's demon activity.
I love that this alligator, in the aftermath of the huge dynamite explosion, Two-Toed Tom is just there, like, laughing like an anime villain, just like, ha, 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 you thought you could kill me.
Haynes would allegedly spend the rest of his days caught up in an obsessive quest to kill the beast. And it is said that even when hard times hit the community and his friends and family were moving away, Haynes refused to budge. Instead, intent on remaining where he was in order to complete his vendetta to slay Two-Toed Tom.
Wow.
That's got to be kind of like an awkward family reunion. You know, where the whole family's around the table at Thanksgiving and it's like, so Jacob here has actually moved to New Jersey, started up that new company. How's that going, Jacob? Well, you know, it's just getting off the ground. We've still got a couple overheads to work out. But, you know, things are going good. Oh, great. Yeah. How's everything with you, Haynes? Haynes is like playing with his food. He's made like a f***ing alligator out of mashed potatoes. He's like, fun for some who get to enjoy life. take things so lightly? Not old Hainsey. And they're like, still looking for two-toed Tom, huh?
Someone's gotta take care of the beast, otherwise it will multiply and suddenly it would eat your f***ing little New Jersey business. You think it doesn't like businesses? It loves small businesses. It loves to eat them for f***ing breakfast.
Haynes, we all know what you're doing is important work. We're just trying to have dinner here, man. We're just trying to chill out and be a little family.
You don't think that if I walked away from my property for 5 minutes, Two-Toed Tom wouldn't go straight to Manhattan and start nibbling at the Empire State Building itself?
You just know that would exactly be what would happen, you know. Everyone's calling him crazy. Everyone's making fun of him. They heckle him out of town. He's like, all right. You've had enough of me? Fine, I'll leave you all be. And he moves down, like, out into the woods or something. And then, boom, in the news next day, a local body was found behind a bar with alligator bite marks all over its neck. A family of five were found dead in their home with an alligator-shaped hole in the wall. It's like a whole pandemic. People are dropping off one by one.
At the White House, the Stars and Stripes is conspicuously absent, and a new alligator-themed flag has been raised as of this afternoon.
And then they gotta go out to the woods, you know, tail between their legs. They gotta find this old cabin. And they're like knocking on the door. They creak their way in. They're like, Haynes? Haynes? We need you. We're sorry. And he's like sleeping in his cot, you know, with a loaded shotgun.
Of course.
Like, Haynes, we need you to come back. It's not gonna. And they step on like a board that makes a creak, and he's like, it's f***ing Tom! Blows their heads clean off with one shot.
It's just me and you at the end of the world. Blood brothers.
Tom, it's just us, your family. What was that you said about blood brothers?
One of the reasons Haynes may not have ever been able to ultimately kill the enormous alligator could be because it's said that shortly after the dynamite attack, Two-Toed Tom apparently went on the move, crossing the state line into Florida to continue its slaughter of cattle.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I guess if you hear about this alligator that is constantly roaming around this one part, haunting the residents, you never assume he's just gonna up shop and go. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, but I mean, from everything I've heard in the popular media, Florida is a kind of paradise for old people and alligators, so I can understand why it would be attractive.
It's kind of disappointing because when I was reading this story, I was kind of hoping that it would result in a Revenge of the Sith style showdown where Haynes and Two-Toed Tom are fighting on a lava planet. And, you know, Haynes is like, it's over, Two-Toed Tom! I've got the high ground! And then Two-Toed Tom is like lashing about in the lava because he thinks it's water. He's got red eyes. He sees in red. He doesn't know what's hot and what's not. And, you know, he tries to do like a gator barrel roll and flip right over. And Haynes has got, I don't know, what's the redneck equivalent of a lightsaber? A whiskey bottle, I guess. He just smashes it over the gator's head as it soars over him. And it just rolls down into the puddles of the floor. I mean, that's what I would
watch that movie. It's got to become One-Toed Tom after that scene. Obviously.
And then, of course, Haynes leaves. He didn't realize that Two-Toed Tom was just picked up by Chancellor Palpatine and turned into Darth Tom.
Oh, fuck. Your problems have just multiplied.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's one of the most popular stories I could find of a actual, essentially a super gator. So thank you for that great bit of info there from www.disclosure.pw.
Not exactly a cryptid, but I guess so, a kind of mythical super animal.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great discussion. At what point does an animal just get so abnormally large that it's a cryptid?
Yeah.
I mean, if, because you do see that in the, you always see those pictures on the internet where it's like, oh yeah, you think kangaroos are a joke? Look at this son of a bitch. And it's like an abnormally jacked kangaroo.
It's a Mike Tyson kangaroo. It's a heavyweight champion of the world.
That for some reason is insanely stronger and faster than a kangaroo should be.
Yeah.
Does that make him paranormal?
I always think this when I see albino, funnily you mentioned it, but like albino animals.
Yeah.
There bizarrely seems to be in a number of different animal species this tendency for one in a million to be colored entirely white.
Yeah.
And I always think, wow, imagine being like some hunter-gatherer living 10,000 years ago. If you saw that one in a million white elephant or like white giraffe or white horse in the wilderness, you would 100% assume that it was a paranormal message or sign from the gods.
Yeah.
It's only just like, today, science has told us, like, it's pretty strange, but we can explain it.
Oh, God, it's so boring.
Oh, sons of bitches. Take magic out of everything. There's only one place on Earth untouched by science, and that's Disneyland. And that's why it's the happiest place on Earth, because magic and joy and love is real.
Exactly. And that little cryptid Mickey Mouse is one day going to get what's coming
to
him.
That's right.
As soon as I can get a net and a tranquilizing dart through the
security. I try to
bring
a piece every time.
Yeah, you should, as you should. But unfortunately, we can't bring our weapons in. So I'm just forced to take photos with the guy and pose like I'm having a good time.
Ask a few questions, try and learn a little about his patterns.
Yeah, he doesn't even realize that it's me because I got the ears on my head blending in.
He thinks I'm one of them. This just demonstrates the fine line between cryptid and a freak of nature.
It's so true. I've actually seen an albino alligator before.
Really?
In a zoo. I don't remember. I think it was a zoo in America.
Good lord.
Surprisingly, really cute.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually think alligators are quite cute.
Where's this going?
That's it. They're not going anywhere.
You're on the alligator.
Where's
side,
it going?
Huh?
I'm not going to f*** it.
Well, you just spent an entire episode saying that they're murderous bastards, and then now you're telling me they're cute? So I'm starting to question your alliances.
They got
these
a cheeky little smile. What? You can't help but love them.
They killed a granddaughter.
Look. That's in their instinct, you know? It's like when a cat kills a bird. You don't go like, I will now make it my mission to hunt and kill that cat. You go, hey, come on now, little cat.
I've been campaigning for years for cat prisons. And no one will listen, but the little furry assholes need to be locked up just for a week or two at a time.
To teach them a lesson.
That's what I'm saying.
I think one of the weirdest things that we should talk about in this entire case, because it's a huge case and there's so many levels to it, you know, not even talking about
you got the street level, sewer level, sub sewer level.
Three, I guess, are the levels.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Alligators aren't typically violent by nature.
You're telling me they're cute. You're telling me they're not violent. You just listed for 45 minutes the murders that they've done.
First off, the murders was by a demon.
You said it was a weapon that could walk.
Yeah, but the weapons don't kill people.
Yes, they do.
The people kill people. So if I would, like, if there,
you're
if you were
starting to sound like an NRA narc.
If you were in a swamp and an alligator was swimming by, if you're sitting there, he's not going to shimmy up to you and eat you. He's going to swim on by.
Is that true? It doesn't sound
I think
true.
So. I think they only.
Well, you got to base it on something. Jesus Christ.
Scientists have said, there you go. I'll start the sentence like that. How about that?
Okay, that's not how it works, though. You don't just say,
Jesus
scientists
Christ,
said.
I'll fucking Google it.
Are alligators violent?
Are alligators violent?
Don't you like pick out a convenient like piece of information?
Gotta scroll a bit here. How to survive an alligator attack? Is it rare for an alligator to kill a person? That's a good question. But implies that it has happened.
No.
Absolutely not. Have you seen them?
Absolute weapons they are.
It says American alligators are often less aggressive towards human than larger crocodiles.
Okay, right? But that's like saying...
And crocodiles?
Like saying a nuke is a bit more destructive than dynamite.
There's no point in arguing this because my next point is going to be that actually they're pretty violent.
So what is the point of this setup? You couldn't convince me that they weren't violent only to then try and contradict that and say they are.
That was the point of the sentence. The point of the sentence was going to be, imagine that didn't happen. All right? Scientists will tell you that alligators are typically not very violent towards humans.
Okay.
However, this man in Florida would tell you that yes, they are.
Michael Diaz was swimming in a stream just a few blocks from his home outside of Apopka, Florida.
And then, without a word of a lie, something came up my back. I felt something punch me in the back of the head. And so I was pushed underwater by this thing. I presume it was a person. While underwater, I turned around underwater and looked up, and I saw bubbles splashing, a white belly of a gator, and then I just panicked. I freaked out. And being waist-deep water, I just stripped the water, ripped up my back, and started swinging and punching at the gator, trying to defend my life and make sure I wasn't bitten anymore. I just didn't want to be bitten.
He's smiling! He's laughing!
Diaz managed to fight off the 6-foot alligator, but the damage was done.
They gave me 33 staples for all the different bites and stabbing wounds I got.
Why is he smiling? Ladies and gentlemen, let it be known that whenever he described his retaliation on the gator, he started swinging wildly with his fists.
Yeah.
While smirking.
It's very hard to kind of get across in audio how like animated and excited this man is about his fight with a gator. It seems like even before he knew what was happening, he had ripped off his mask and was like violently punching the water.
That interview was like someone talking about their first skydiving experience or something.
Yeah.
It was really weird and excitable and happy.
I think at the end he said he got stabbed by the gator.
He said 33 staples and multiple stab wounds from the gator.
What? I don't understand.
It donkey punched him on the back of the head and then stabbed him.
You thought the New York gators were rough.
Yeah.
Jesus.
They don't f*** around. that video is incredible.
It's so good, isn't it?
He's absolutely lying. None of it happened.
No one who actually went through that is that excited to retell the story. It's kind of like, it felt like at any point he was going to be like, so I'm like swimming in the waters, you know, top off, six pack biceps, all glistening in the sun. You know, I just said, I kiss goodbye to my supermodel wife. You wouldn't know it. She lives in another town. And I'm just coming there and I start swimming. I get knocked on the back of the head. I turn around, 8, 9, 20 gators all lined up, ready to take me on. I said, ready to die, you scaly bastards. And I start taking them down one by one. I got one in a chokehold. I'm giving one a noogie. It sounds like he's just making it up as he goes along. I'm a borderline swamp hero. Now, before we kind of round up our story for this evening, it's interesting to note that while a lot of scientists do agree that it is almost near impossible for an alligator to survive for extended periods of time in the sewers, drinking sewage and poop, as we did state earlier in the episode, alligators are hard as they have survived several extinctions and even the last ice age. So that's why scientists describe them as living fossils.
Yeah.
Other interesting notes, kind of linked to how they're a little bit cute. They also like to hang out in groups and are actually pretty chatty.
Yeah, they're not. So what could you possibly mean by that? Because they don't talk.
They make hisses, growls, and roars to communicate with each other while they're in a group. So they're actually super intelligent.
Yeah, you know what else likes to hang out in a group? Lions and murderous animals. Because they hunt in packs.
Yeah, but they're also lions, you know, kind of cute.
Kind of chatty.
When you actually, when you think about them.
Little chatty Cathys, as I like to call them.
That just about rounds up our episode for this week. All right? With the New York City Gators.
Wow.
I feel like I've been through the sewer systems. I feel like the start of this episode was us being flushed and we're coming out the other side only now. Kit, what are your thoughts?
I feel like I'm about to be shot in the head by the sewer king, whatever his name was. My thoughts are, thank you for this. Primo investigative journalism, Rory.
Thank you.
Took a lot.
A lot of credit to, as I said, the New York Times for an incredible article detailing the records of alligator sightings in the city.
I will say thank you to them. I will say maybe get back to doing the news because I feel like they should, if someone should be doing that, they should.
Sure.
Maybe like cool off the kind of alligator stuff.
Unless, of course, it is all real and then there should be way more written about this. Everyone should be talking about this.
It's just at the top of all their articles. It's like the 2020 nominations for both parties are looking very, very tight. But what none of them have spoken about as of yet is the looming Gatorgate in New York City.
Climate change this year is on the rise. Of course, that means very little to our inevitable gator overlords who will be ruling us any day now.
We are, after all, just stewards of this planet until they feel they want to take the power back.
Till they decide to flush us.
This is a pretty wild story and one that is clearly grounded in a lot of fact. We've got, right off the bat, you showed me a photo of a giant Harlem gator. Back in the day, the difficulty here, the question is any of this paranormal? And we do have some inklings for this, like you demonstrated with the bloody-eyed sort of paranormal Alabama gator. But do we have enough to go on the line and say that that's real?
Yeah. Yeah. This case reminds me a lot of the time that we investigated vampires.
Mm.
Because it poses an interesting dilemma when we're coming down to conclusions. You know, I think in that episode, the question was, are vampires real?
Yes.
Not necessarily is what we're dealing with paranormal.
Yeah.
If we look at this case and say, have there been alligators living in the New York City sewers? I guess the answer probably would be yes. Maybe not for extended periods of time. Certainly not in giant mutated form.
Right.
But yeah, it's fact that alligators were pulled up and discovered in the sewers of New York City. I guess it depends if we want to come down on whether or not these stories are real or whether or not these alligators are genuinely mutated and enormous, similar to Two-Toed Tom.
Okay, well, I know what my personal bar for this is. If we can prove that the alligators we've seen are out of the ordinary, if they have truly, like you say, been mutated.
Right.
Then maybe we can go online and say this is real, that this is paranormal. But what I got to know is, what's like the biggest American gators found?
Okay, that's a good thing to look up. We need a frame of reference.
Okay, so the largest American alligator scientifically verified was in Florida somewhere between, it says between 1977 to 1993. Is that when it was alive? I don't know. It was 4.2 meters long, almost exactly 14 feet long.
Okay.
And there is a skull that exists, which seems to be even bigger. They estimate about 4.5 meters, so almost 15 feet long.
Wow.
So for that reason, the sizes we've seen, the descriptions we've seen, alligators have definitely killed people throughout history. I don't think the behavior we've seen today is so wildly different or unbelievable or unexplainable. And for that reason, for me, it's going to be a no today.
That's fair enough. I mean, even the Harlem sewer gator, the biggest and most popular one that was ever documented, was pushing 8 foot. You know, that's big for a alligator in New York City.
Yes.
But as we discovered, You know, in the wild, they get a lot bigger. These, if anything, the sewage water probably hasn't done a lot of good to these gators. They were probably 10 foot when they got in there. And they're being tumble dried through the sewer system, coming out shrinky dinky. It's going to be, you know, oh God, it's tough. I wanted this one to maybe steer in a direction where I could say yes, because there have been alligators in the sewer system. But guys, this isn't this weird life. It's this paranormal life. And is this paranormal? No. There's a logical explanation for it. None of these alligators spawned through a hell gate. They're there because they were flushed. And Two-Toe Tom probably doesn't exist. If he does, he's just an alligator. Well, that's this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I had a blast. As I said, I feel like this was a whirlwind, a toilet bowl whirlwind of information that just washed over us. And we have come out gators on the other side. Cute little gators. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. If you did, and you want to get a little bit more, maybe you've caught up with all the episodes weekly. Maybe you've listened to the backlog. Maybe you've gone back and listened to every episode 5 times, 10 times. There's more, guys. There's a secret.
A sewer sub-level.
Yeah. You went down. Listening to This Paranormal Life is going down into the sewers with a flashlight and finding spooky shit. What you don't realize is there's a sub-sewer of even spookier classified information. All right? And you can find that on patreon.com/thisparanormallife, where you can get access to the bonus episodes for $5 a month. That's how we keep the show going, guys. We don't run ads.
Uh-uh.
We don't make any money any other way. It's purely just by creating bonus content and having support from you guys, our awesome audience that keeps the show running. And if you do support us on Patreon, we like to end the show by giving you a special shout out. So thank you to
Matt.
Well, if it isn't Matt in the hat, an eccentric billionaire who built a mansion that looks like a baseball cap.
Wow.
Incredibly impractical. It leaks rainwater almost every night. Feral dogs have managed to sneak in the back. But it's a cool house, so fair play to you.
Is he the first billionaire bro to build a snapback mansion?
He was.
Thanks also to Shan Keddy. Shan Keddy is always ready. It doesn't matter what for, just always ready. It's like if you text them being like, hey, I was thinking of going to, they just, before you've even texted it, they text back being like, yes, I'm there, let's go.
I love it. I love that kind of attitude.
It's like, hey, it's 4 a.m. I don't sleep. I'll be there.
And if there's ever a surprise wedding, they've got the confetti.
That's right.
See what I did there? Confetti.
Or Shan Keddy.
Yeah, Keddy. Yeah. Sure.
Thanks also to Emma C.
Emma is in a bit of a dilemma.
Oh.
Because Emma C is see-through.
Oh.
Yeah, not even a ghost. Just weirdly transparent.
Like invisible? Like a kind of Harry Potter invisibility cloak?
Yeah, but everyone can still see her.
Oh.
And you can, like, you can bump into her and stuff. So she can't just pretend to be a ghost because someone would hit her.
Oh, she's more like a shrimp, kind of like see-through skin.
Yeah, more like a shrimp.
Wow,
she's a human shrimp.
Awful.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know, it's a tough life, but I hope you find something to do with it.
Thanks also to Rowan Frowen. Rowan, it's pretty interesting family history there in that family. All of their ancestors died tragically in rowing accidents.
Whoa.
But it's just, that's their family business, rowing.
How do you die in a rowing accident?
Off a waterfall, off the edge of the earth, if you believe it to be flat, for example, into the mouth of a hippopotamus.
They just can't stop.
They can't stop. It's a family business. So, Rowan, I respect that kind of commitment to the family business.
Brave.
Thanks also to Roxy Hampton. Well, if it isn't Doxy Roxy, master identity thief.
What, she just steals other people's identities?
Doxes people from morning to night.
That's sneaky. Sneaky like a foxy, Roxy.
Oh! Thanks also to Gabriel Kornberger.
We don't need to tell you what this person's famous for. Inventor of the Kornberger. That's right. Yeah, instead of a beef patty, some corn. Instead of a bun, corn on the cob.
It's a very kind of middle America treat, folks.
Very much so.
If you're from either coasts, or indeed if you're from Europe, you'll never have heard of this. But the corn burger
is blowing up right now. Yeah.
Delicacy. Thank you to Kelly Gardner. Kelly Gardner, inventor of the jelly hardener.
What?
Until Kelly came along.
Why would anyone need that?
Jelly pretty much didn't exist. Jelly was just pretty much water, like a thick water.
Right. Oh, okay.
It was quite a sad treat that kids had on birthday parties, but it pretty much always ruined the birthday.
It's like drinking slime.
Until Kelly came along and hardened it up, and now it's the kind of jolly little birthday snack we've all come to love.
Yeah, it's a delicate. You don't want to make it too hard, though, because once that thing reaches a, you know, a solid state, you're gonna lose a couple teeth.
Oh, Kelly lost some teeth during the trialing and R&D on this one. Thanks also to Jared.
Jared the jelly softener. He's ruined many a birthday party. He just comes around with his magic little fingers, turning perfect jelly into puddles.
They're very much nemesis, Kelly and Jared.
Exactly. You know, you can't have one without the other. You know, because if all the jelly was water, then you wouldn't have the hardener. And if it was all salt, you wouldn't have the softener.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful dance.
And yet, at every birthday party, at some point, a parent screams, "Why are these grown men and women at this child's birthday party?
You weren't invited. You brought the jelly."
Little Fabian doesn't like jelly. Thanks also to Ghostly Grimoire.
Ghostly Grimoire at this point is mocking us. I've been trying to catch this ghost for years.
Really?
It's an elusive little bastard, and here it is, sending me money on the internet.
As if it has flesh and bones.
Yeah. Oh, you know what would really piss me off? If you just friggin' doubled those donations.
Yeah.
Tripled them, you know, really rubbed it in.
Yeah.
That shit would drive me crazy. I f***ing dare you, Ghostly.
Thank you too, Casey.
Just saying the name Casey gets my heart all racy.
Yeah?
That's how much love I have for Casey. And when I feel love, I want a Casey of ice cold beer.
To celebrate this Casey's Day parade.
Oh, beautiful! Thank you for all your support, Casey.
Thanks also to Alan Clarkson.
Alan Clarkson is an excellent marksman.
Oh.
With any weapon you want. I mean,
throwing knives,
axes, what, even weapons that aren't supposed to be thrown, like a shield.
Oh.
He'll still throw that thing like a boomerang.
On some Chris Evans shit. I like it.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It.
Just the most perfect marksman. Whatever it is, he won't miss. He could throw a freaking corn burger 200 yards into the mouth of a hungry man.
But he wouldn't, because it's too delicious.
Of course.
Thanks to Emily Baschek.
They say to keep your friends close and your Emily's closer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So she ain't a friend?
She's absolutely not a friend. She's actually a pretty big enemy.
Oh.
I don't know why she's doing this, flaunting her wealth in front of us on the podcast.
Well.
She dropped $100,000 this month.
Wow.
That doesn't even get you anything. You only get one shout out. It doesn't get louder or anything.
But she put our enemy's name in our mods, and that's worth six figures.
It is. So thank you, Emily, I say begrudgingly.
Thank you to Rico Suave,
the kind of guy that lives in Miami, you know, Hawaiian shirts, sunglasses on.
Oh yeah.
But he is a huge nerd,
of course.
As well, this son of a bitch is going to anime conventions. He's painting Warhammers. You know, everyone's like, Rico Suave? Oh my god, who is this guy? He's importing Dance Dance Revolution arcade cabinets all the way from Nihon. It's crazy.
He's pulling up to the D&D meet in a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
That's what this guy's up to.
And they turn him away because they're like, even you're too nerdy for us. It's a weird balance.
Thank you to ThistleKnot23. ThistleKnot23? You think this is some kind of sick joke? You're not going to tell us what you did to ThistleKnot 1 through 22? I see what this is to you. You're some sort of clone motherfucker.
Exactly. And the audacity to come on this podcast. You've been in our inbox complaining about the tears on our Patreon. And you're not happy about it. Well, you're getting your shout out. So, Thistle make you happy.
Hey!
Not.
Oh.
Because he's never happy.
Thank you to Adam Flensborg. You've heard of a cyborg. Adam's a Flensborg.
What is a Flensborg?
From the planet Flan.
Not Flen?
No, it's a planet of a delicious, creamy, kind of dessert-based type people.
Right, you said he's a Flensborg.
Well, he's not a Flan, is he? He's a Borg, so he's like an imitation of one of the Flan people.
Okay.
He's a Flensborg.
Okay, fair. Yeah, sure, why not?
What do you mean, why not? This is science.
I want to move past this, I'm confused.
Thanks also to Kylie Martin.
Kylie Martin, the kindly Martian.
Ooh.
Even though they're from another planet, they're always just like super appreciative of your time when they come and visit, you know? Mm. Which a lot of Martians come down and they're like, we're gonna kill you or dissect you.
Mm-hmm.
But Kylie's just like, what are you guys up to? This planet seems pretty chill. You guys want some space weapons? Here you go. Yeah, here, giving them out. We appreciate your generosity.
Thank you to Anthony Roberts. Anthony Roberts has a sick pastime.
Really? Ooh,
he likes to rob ants.
Okay.
Which,
from what?
It's bizarre, because they don't really have much.
Picnic food, I guess?
Picnic food, tiny little crumbs, maybe it leaves, maybe the odd berry. Wait till Anthony hears about bees, because they have shit worth robbing.
Honey. And honey is money, Anthony.
We've been saying that for months. Thanks, lastly but not leastly, to Sekie.
Similar to Plan B, this is Seki A. That's right, the first of all the Sekis. You got Seki B, Seki C, but we're dealing with Seki A, the original.
The original and best, folks.
Exactly.
It's like the cool ranch flavor.
Right, was that the original? No, the original was cheese. Wait, are we talking about Doritos?
It was cheese?
I think so.
Isn't it cool original?
That's way too cool to be the original. I think I'm having a meltdown here. What?
The original, of course, was cheese.
Alexa.
Wait. Rory's staring at his iPhone, yelling Alexa, confused as to why it's not responding.
My brain! Listen to me, you robot!
Sekie, respond!
I'm just going to go ahead and assume no one knows what the first flavor of Doritos
presumably
was.
Presumably it's some sort of ancient Egyptian secret.
Yeah.
And the Doritos Corporation merely unearthed it and just started mass manufacturing it.
We have no idea, but it doesn't matter because it's not paranormal. Thank you to everyone who listened to this week's episode. As always, we'll be back next week with a brand new paranormal tale.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.